he-goat. Eva, indeed. Prestatamaya, beloved. Ramamanam, engaged in sexual activities. Aja, the she-goat. Anyaya, with another she-goat. Vilokya, by seeing. Kupasang vigna, the she-goat who had fallen into the well. Na, night. Amrishat, tolerated. Vastakarma, the business of the goat. Tat, that. Sex is accepted here as the business of the goat. So translation. When the she-goat had fallen into the well, when the she-goat, who had fallen into the well, saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. You can repeat. When the she-goat who had fallen into the well, saw her beloved goat, engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat. She could not tolerate the goat's activities. So there's no purport to this text. Read the next text with its purport. Text 8. Tanduridam suridrupam kaminam kshanasoridam indriyaramamutsritya swaminam dukhitaya. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word Swami Nam is significant. Swami means caretaker or master. Devyani was cared for by Shukadacharya before her marriage, and after her marriage she was cared for by Yati. But here the word Swami Nam indicates that Devyani left the protection of her husband, Yati, and returned to her former protector, Shukadacharya. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman stay under the protection of a man. During childhood, she should be cared for by her father, in youth by her husband, and in old age by a grown son. In any stage of life, a woman should not have independence. So, controversial purport today. Okay. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam. Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So this is not simply one particular statement of Srila Prabhupada's. There are multifarious and many, many statements that Srila Prabhupada has made in the same regard, in different contexts. So let's try to understand this particular statement, of course, in line with the modern world. It's definitely a modern world. And how to apply it in the modern world. So, of course, Prabhupada generally refers to this particular strategy that women should always be protected because the women, he uses the word sometimes less intelligent, but I'm going to unpack that because the women generally have, let's say, are more susceptible to emotions than the men. Not that women are necessarily less intelligent in different endeavors in this material world. In fact, we find that women in many cases can excel men in different intellectual endeavors. I know even in programming, you know, computer programming, we find women are sometimes better than men. Japan. This is because they have more patience than the men do. And anyway, in certain areas, the women can be more intelligent than the men. And so we're not talking about intelligence in terms of ability to do certain activities in this world or even to be expert in certain activities. We're talking about in terms of discrimination, because discrimination between, you know, right and wrong, or between what Krishna wants and what Krishna doesn't want, can be interfered with by our emotions. That's really important to understand. For all of us, men, women, of course, children, very emotional anyway, that emotions can just like color our perception. You know, there are different emotions, of course. There's anger. Anger is one of the big ones. That it sort of colors your sense of judgment. Anger, or specifically, when one has unfulfilled needs. Because we were talking about this at the seminar, that we all have needs, you know, different needs. And of course, the main need that the ladies have is the need for protection. And the reason that ladies have a need for protection is because there's all sorts of predators out there. I mean, for example, if I was in the jungle right now, let's say in the African savannah, of course, or else in a big city, then I'd always be alert because, you know, there's so many predators out there. And I would definitely want to carry a gun, or I would want some bodyguard. Isn't it? I would definitely want a bodyguard. Probably ask for this devotee, Sri Arjuna, to come with me with a gun, and he's very astute at this. So, you know, because I'd feel unprotected. And as soon as I would see someone with a gun, you know, ready to protect me, not to shoot me, of course, I feel great affection for such a person. Isn't it? I mean, when you're in a place where you're surrounded by predators, and for example, I get certain messages from one of my lady disciples, who's married in Germany, anyway, I guess we know where it is, Sita, and she's explaining to me that every time she goes somewhere, and it's not her husband, I mean, she was with her husband the other day, for example, at the bank of the Rhine River. Rhine River is a river in Germany, for those of you who don't know, and which the Germans are very attached to, but basically the cities are all just dumping their refuse into it. I joke with the devotees about that. So anyway, so she's by the bank of it. So her husband goes off, you know, for a few minutes to just look at, feed the ducks or something like that. And this man just comes up and says, you know, what do you think about sex? And she, you know, she's not a young woman. She's, you know, she's in her 40s, I think. And he's like, what? You know, I feel very insecure, too. People just coming up and asking me about all sorts of stupid things like that. And so the women are always confronted with this particular dynamic. At least in society, they're confronted with it. I mean, sometimes in certain societies, they have the strategy of wearing burqas. I don't know how that works, but anyway. In fact, it may cause men to be more attracted to them because, you know, you don't know what's underneath. You could have the ugliest mug in the world, but if you're wearing a burqa, you can't tell them. I mean, just like that story of Kichika and Bhimsen. Bhimsen, I guess, had sort of a sari or something over his head. And when Kichika comes in, he removes the covering on his head, and then basically Kichika sees it's not attractive young girl anymore. It's a thug, you know, or a very strong man. So anyway, so imagine if you're confronted. I'm just asking the men to put themselves in that particular situation, where you're confronted with predators all the time. Not even necessarily sexual predators, but predators who are just like trying to take advantage of you. And then, you know, it would cause a lot of anxiety. You know, if I was walking down the street and everyone was looking at me and literally, you know, undressing me with their eyes, which is what the men do, you know, whatever. And so, actually, so Sita was explaining to me, it's just like being surrounded by gorillas all the time. She uses that particular expression. She says that there's gorillas. You go into the supermarket and there's a gorilla there. Fortunately, she's a very chaste lady. And she's very dedicated to her husband, dedicated to her spiritual master. So, yeah, there's no question. So, but all, you know, contiguous. This is in Germany, a so-called civilized country, not like America. And they have a good prime minister in Germany. Right? Anyway. What?
For now.
For now, yeah. Yeah, she may get thrown out because she got too liberal with the immigrants. People are rebelling against that. Anyway, so can you imagine such a situation like that? And even in religious societies, one of the primary problems there are in religious societies, in religious societies, something called pastoral abuse. I mean, even in ISKCON, we have this whole, let's say, mechanism set up or group of devotees who are meeting and deciding different strategies how to deal with pastoral abuse and how to judge people who are accused of pastoral abuse. And we had incidents of pastoral abuse, just like you have the child abuse thing, the child protection organization and a local CPT. So maybe one day we're going to have to have the local, woman, WPT, woman protection team, you know, something like that. Because it's so prominent in society. And Prabhupada many times mentioned that the men, they're very enthusiastic about this women's liberation. I mean, sometimes you see these different protests or whatever, you know, like abortion protests and things like that. And there's many men there too. Why the men? Because they want to exploit without having to pay for it. And Prabhupada said, you know, the ladies, that they get exploited. There's, of course, unwanted pregnancies. There's abortions that may take place. The men can just, like, walk away from the whole thing. Of course, legally, there are some ramifications for the men, but the men don't always, like, reciprocate in that way. And even there's the emotional damage that's done when the men take advantage of the women. So really, there has to be protection. And also, as far as marriages are concerned, that's another way that the ladies, it would be good if they're protected. Because in the Vedic system, you have arranged marriages. Now, that appears to be really heartless, where you have arranged marriages, and, you know, whatever happened to love? So the point is, with these love marriages, and some of them work very well, I'm not just decrying the marriages or any of you who got married because you fell in love. I mean, some of them work very well, but you don't really, the men and the women don't really consider compatibility that much. It's mostly infatuation, and then 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, you wake up and you discover who's there. So, therefore, the women and the men both have to be protected. So, however, there's another thing I wanted to mention too, that because the women are in this situation where they're being continually harassed, exploited, they're victimized, or people are trying to victimize them, they're some many times looking for what we call a magic bullet, you know, some solution to the problems. And so that's why sometimes women rush into marriage. That's why sometimes women go from one husband to another, because the particular husband is not fulfilling their needs. And they see, well, if I had this one, that would fulfill my needs. Men do the same thing, of course. They're always looking for some solution to fulfill their needs. So, therefore, it's a very important point. Now, one thing I wanted to read from is the Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes a situation where the woman is advised to reject her husband. And this is a very interesting pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the pastime of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, feeding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being offended by Amoga Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law, who was married to his wife, married to his daughter, sorry, Sati. So what happened is Lord Chaitanya was being fed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and this envious at that particular time individual criticized Lord Chaitanya, saying this sannyasi is eating 10 times more than an ordinary person. In other words, he's acting like a pig. Yeah, that's a big offense. So as soon as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard what had happened, of course, the first thing he did is he ran after Amoga to beat him. He ran after him with a stick. And Amoga ran faster than Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an old man. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking, I should kill him. But then he thought, better not to kill him because he's a Brahmin. And if I kill a Brahmin, you know, that's not the right way to go. And if I commit suicide myself, that's not the right way to go because I'm also killing a Brahmin. And he related to that whole particular story about Ashwatthama that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Ashwatthama had killed the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas, and then he was captured by Arjuna, and there was a whole discussion whether he should be killed or not, and Arjuna was put into a dilemma. You should kill him, you should not kill him, and finally Arjuna decided to cut the jewel from his forehead, which is like killing, but not actually killing, because you're not supposed to kill the body of a Brahmin. Anyway, that's from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought, let me read this verse. Instead, I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I reject him and give up my relationship with him. I shall never even speak his name. And then he wants to have his daughter informed, the next one, verse. Inform my daughter Sati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When a husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship. So the fall down of Amoga was actually quite serious. It was a great offense at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't just like he slipped one day and took a puff on a marijuana cigarette or something like that. Actually, one is not supposed to abandon someone because of accidental fall down. You're not supposed to even abandon a Vaishnava because of accidental fall down. And not even the guru because of accidental fall down, just because he happens to watch Star Wars one day. Or Star Trek too. Anyway, so one's not supposed to reject. So this is more than an accidental fall down. This is actually a complete rejection of Krishna consciousness that is being described here. So anyway, so reading from the middle of the purport. As far as Sati, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was concerned, she was advised to give up her relationship with her husband. Concerning this, Srimad Bhagavatam says, 5.5.18, Napatis cha sasyan namochiyad ya samupetya majum. One cannot be a husband if he cannot liberate his dependents from inevitable death. If a person is not in Krishna consciousness and is bereft of spiritual power, he cannot protect his wife from the path of repeated birth and death. Consequently, such a person cannot be accepted as a husband. Wow. A wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. If her husband abandons Krishna consciousness and she gives up her connection with him, she follows in the footsteps of the Dvija Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas who are engaged in performing sacrifices. Wow. The wife is not to be condemned for cutting off such a relationship. In this regard, Sri Krishna assures the Dvija Patnis in Srimad Bhagavatam, a 10th canto, 23rd chapter, 31 to 32. I'm not going to read the Sanskrit. My dear Dvija Patnis. Dvija Patni, of course, means the wives of the Brahmanas. Dvija means Brahmana. It also means bird, because a bird is twice born. But in this case, it means Brahmanas. Jewish bodies, rest assured that your husband will not neglect you on your return, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you. Because you're my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. Another verse here. Patimna patitam chachet. When a husband has fallen, one's relationship with him must be given up. And Prabhupada said, this is a quotation from the Smriti Shastra. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a wife who is satisfied, who is not greedy, who is expert and knows religious principles, who speaks what is dear and truthful, and is not bewildered, and who is clean and affectionate, should be very much devoted to her husband if he has not fallen. So, anyway, so fortunately in this particular story, what happens is that Amoga rectifies himself by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Amoga gets cholera and he's getting ready to die from cholera, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands that if Amoga dies from cholera, it would be equivalent to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya leaving his body. And therefore Lord Chaitanya goes to Amoga, touches Amoga's heart and says, get up, envy should not reside in the heart of a brahmana, of a devotee. Get up and chant Hare Krishna. So Amoga gets up and chants Hare Krishna, feels repentant, and Sati and Amoga live happily ever after. So there's a happy ending to that particular story. So the point in this story is that Sati was not rejecting her husband on her own accord. It was on the accord of her father. You understand? Her father, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was the one who advised her. So she wasn't acting independently. So it is very important for a lady always to be protected. So what do the ladies do who are not married, or maybe too old to get married? Not too old. Actually, no one's too old for anything, basically. So what do the ladies do? Then they have to be protected. And Prabhupada actually wanted the ladies in our Krishna Consciousness Movement who didn't have husbands or previously had husbands be protected by the society. Because society can function as a father in that particular context. Because society has as a responsibility the protection of women, cows, old people, Brahmins. You know, it's a very important aspect of Vedic society. So there are certain circumstances where the woman doesn't get married, and actually even Prabhupada said that at one point, he said, we should have some facility like the Catholic Church has, and paraphrasing what Prabhupada said, you know, for women who don't want to get married, so they're in a protected environment. And Prabhupada was very concerned, even went with Jamuna Devi, and insofar as her protection, because basically her husband took sannyas. Her husband was Guru Das, if you remember correctly. And he took sannyas, and he was very concerned that she remained in a protected environment. In fact, when she wanted to open up her ashram in the northwest of the United States, he advised her just keep it very small and to be protected. And he was always in contact with her, just making sure that she was in a protected environment. So Prabhupada functioning as a father in that particular context was concerned. So anyway, so it is the business of the leaders of the Krishna Conscious Movement, and the Krishna Conscious Movement strategy should be set up so that women are protected, and if women are ever exploited, abused, or anything like that, there is a system for rectifying that particular situation. So that's all I have to say about that. Any questions or comments about these points? I mean, it is a controversial point in modern society, but we do find that the women are being exploited to a large extent in modern society. So it's, you know, if you say this publicly, you know, women should be protected and not given independence. I mean, we talk about not giving independence. It doesn't mean that the women should be locked in a cage. You know, there has to be an extension of trust. Not that you know, just keep the woman at home. Keep one of those those bracelets on her, you know, GPS bracelet.
What do we say?
Yeah.
When someone says, well, you know, there are women who are prime ministers and presidents, and women who run huge corporations, and it's obvious that they're very capable.
Yeah, well, and they're also...
And they don't see, maybe people need to be protected from them because of their position also. I mean, they may be...
But they're generally married, aren't they? Yeah, so they're being protected. I'm not saying that women can't run large corporations or be prime ministers or something like that. But they're generally married. And the men should be married, too, when they have these administrative positions. Isn't it? We have the story of Priyavrata, who was asked to take over the kingdom, right? And when he was asked to take over the kingdom, then it was necessary for him to get married. Because that protects the man, too. It's actually essential. I'm not saying that women can have a position. Women could be gurus. Women can do anything in Krishna consciousness. But in general, I mean, not in general, but they always have to be protected by some mechanism. You know, it may not be the father, may not be the husband, may not be the son, but it should be, you know, it should be some, like, administrative arrangement so the ladies are properly protected. It's just not proper to allow the ladies to be subjected to exploitation by men. And just like you see that in the case, I don't even want to get into this one, but yeah, there's a prominent political leader who has exploited many women in the past. And these were the women who were unprotected, going out in beauty pageants, right? I mean, what? I don't think most men, I mean, maybe men are changed, would want their wife just being exhibited in public like that in a beauty pageant. What do you think? Like to the lusty, you know, in these beauty pageants, the women have a swimsuit competition. Okay, I'll say it. Isn't that true?
They stopped it.
All right, that's good. But in the past, they were these swimsuit competitions. So what does that mean? It's like putting out pieces of flesh. I mean, if you actually think about it, even though it may be couched in some nice thing, you know, like, what was that guy who was saying, here she comes, Miss America, or something like that?
Robert Parks.
Robert Parks. Is he dead?
Quite.
Quite dead. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Someone being put out like a piece of flesh, a meat, at the supermarket. I mean, I don't know about husbands because I don't have too much experience in this regard. But I don't think that most men would want their wives put out like that. They would want their wives protected. And so those particular ladies in those situations were exploited by some of the people who were running the pageants or paying for the pageants. I mean, look at it. I mean, just look at the news or the history of some of our present political leaders and you'll see this exploitation is so prominent. And it's disgusting. So, you know, children, women, Brahmins also need to be protected because Brahmins are very soft-hearted. That's another point. Brahmins, naturally, even if someone attacks them, they won't get vengeful towards them. They'll just say, well, we got to forgive them, we have to help them. And then the person can keep, you know, it's the same thing with being a Brahmin. Actually, Michael was telling me this the other day. He said, you're too soft-hearted. You're just like, stop it already, nonsense. No, he didn't say that. But he said, stop it already. So, you know, the Brahmins are also soft-hearted. That's why they need to be protected. Whereas the Kshatriya, he doesn't need protection. Someone comes up to him and challenges him. He says, all right, put up your dukes. The Brahmin says, I surrender. Like that, you know, isn't it? So that's why Brahmins fall into the same category. And women are soft-hearted. And the men take advantage of that. So.
It sounds the way you're speaking that when you speak about Vedic culture, it's a culture of protection. We live in a culture of exploitation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The opposite type of culture. And Prabhupada wanted us to establish a culture of protection, at least within our Krishna conscious movement. And of course, we do need these mechanisms because we're bringing a lot of people in who have some lower qualities, and that's why we need the mechanisms of child protection organization and pastoral abuse organization to deal with that, because people come from lower qualities and not high class. You know, a lot of people don't have the high class qualities when they come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We've had so many incidents of pastoral abuse in our movement. Incredible. And the church has so many incidents of pastoral abuse. So there has to be arrangement somehow or other. The principle is the women should be protected. How you do it, that needs to be discussed. And if there are any questions or comments, arguments, problems, issues.
Sometimes there's this misunderstanding that women don't have a varna or a nature.
Yeah.
But we can actually see that according to one's nature, if one's in a woman's body that are mentally inclined, the type of protection that they require will be different than someone that has other inclinations. So that's that how one's properly engaged is very, very important also.
Yeah. Protection is not only from predators, but if protection needs to be engaged properly so the mind is controlled. Yeah, that's actually, thank you for bringing that up. You know, just like the spiritual master protects the disciples by ascertaining the psychophysical nature, that applies to both the men and women. That the psychophysical nature, you know, some ladies are expert managers, like Lady Shakti, so they have to be engaged in management. And some ladies like to sew. They have to engage in sewing and other things like that. Anyway, just like with the men. So that's part of protection. Thank you. Yes?
I just want to say, the way I heard is, since the 1950s, the men need just as much protection as the
that's
women.
That's true.
They were being affected also by the system that runs up.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's an exploitative society. I mean, we are being exploited every minute by the media. I mean, even if you want to watch a YouTube of the Ramayana or something like that, you get all these advertisements at the same time. Yes, we're getting exploited economically, psychologically, socially, in every other way. So basically, we all require protection. But I was commenting on Srila Prabhupada's comments there in this particular verse. Okay. Thank you all for watching, all you ladies for watching.